Welcome to the Rock Church Podcast. This is Amanda. We're so glad you're joining us today. We are a church family that exists to love God, love people, and do something about it. If you would like to learn more about us, you can visit us at rockc3.com or head over to your app store and search RockC3 for our app. This is the fourth week of our series called Don't At Me, and this week Pastor Josh explains how when we rob from people, we steal life from them, and how when we rob God, we steal life from ourselves. Enjoy the message.
Well, hello, Rock Church. How's everybody doing? Good. Great to see those of you here today. I want to welcome you here. Maybe it's your first time with us. If that's the case, my name is Josh. I'm one of the pastors here. And just really thankful that you've come out on this cold morning. All right. Curious, anybody here actually enjoy the cold? Okay. So, man, that was quick, Parker. Okay. Like, I'm going to pray for anybody raise their hand right then. I just want you to know that. Because we're in the South, it's supposed to be warm here, okay? Seriously, glad you guys are here. Do me a favor, give a shout out and kind of welcome our online community and those that are C3 Coffee Bar here in Conway. So glad you guys are with us. And I want to recognize one other group. This weekend is Veterans Day weekend. Tomorrow's Veterans Day. So I want to recognize our veterans. But I also want to recognize maybe some family members who are not with us because they're overseas serving. So in a second, I want you to stand up if you're a veteran or if you have a spouse, a sibling, or a child who is currently serving in the military, all right? So if I could just have any veteran in the room stand up, or if you have a spouse, a sibling, or a child, all right? Go ahead. Yeah. Awesome. I didn't know that. Wow. So good. So thankful for each and every one of you guys. And I love that you were willing, or a family member, if you're standing in their stead, was willing to serve the nation, which really means serving people, all right? If you're in the military, if you go in the military, then you understand I'm doing this to protect and to value life, all right? So each and every one of you that stood up, I know myself personally and everybody else here, we are thankful for your service, and I want to appreciate that. We're going to dive into this message. We're going to hit a lot, but even in that vein of thinking about serving and protecting people, that's really what our series, Don't At Me, has really been all about. Now, we've been looking at the last six commandments that we find in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, and the last six commandments are all about loving and serving and protecting people because people matter. And we've talked each week about different ways to love and to serve people. It's been kind of tough. We've dealt with some tough topics that if we allowed them to, have really hit the heart. Right? That if we are willing to go there where Jesus went with these commandments and listen to what Jesus said, then they were some things that we had to go, okay, this is tough to hear, but I need to put this into practice. And today is another tough one, all right? And my guess is most of us will say, well, I don't have a problem with this one, all right? Because it really comes down to this question, are you a thief? And most people say, I'm not a thief, right? Like, if I asked, are you a thief, I'm probably not going to get very many hands to go up in the air right now. But let me ask it this way. Have you ever cheated on your homework? Have you ever cheated on a test? Have you ever cheated on your taxes? Have you ever taken a cookie from the cookie jar? Yeah, some kids are like confessing right now. Have you ever stolen some candy maybe from the teacher's desk? Have you ever stolen some candy from the candy aisle? Have you ever eaten a grape from the grocery market? Now listen, the grape's not stealing. That's good stewardship, right? Because you got to find out if that thing's crunchy or not, all right? If it's crunchy, I buy the whole bag. But anyway, but you think about it. Have you ever taken a dollar from your mom's purse or taken some coins from your dad's dresser? If we've done those kind of things, then what we've actually done is stolen. And we don't want to admit that, right? Because now, come on, that's just some change laying around, or that's really not that big of a deal. And true, it's not that big of a deal. Nothing that I mentioned right there, maybe outside of cheating on your taxes, is really a big deal. Or stealing candy from the candy aisle, all right? Or, no. But you get what I'm saying. A lot of that's not a big deal. Yet, if we go further into this verse, it really becomes a big deal. Because what stealing does is it robs life. Maybe I could say it this way, that if you rob from people, you rob them of life. And that's why this commandment is such a big deal. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 15, you'll see it on the TV here. Moses said, all right, through God, God said through Moses, is a better way for me to say that he said, don't steal. Do not steal, all right? And there's a very basic reason why. That back then, there's probably about 1 million, maybe 2 million Israelites that Moses would have been speaking to. They're a brand new nation. They're just trying to figure out how to live. And God, through Moses, says, well, one thing you can do is don't steal. That you have been in a nation, you've been slaves in Egypt, and you would work all day, and then the Egyptians and the Pharaoh, they would come and take everything that you owned. They would come and take everything that you'd worked for. They had lived their entire adult life being stolen from. So that was what they knew. So now as they're starting a new life, a new nation, God's saying, we got to start this on the right foot. Do not steal from one another. Don't take things that are not your possession. Because when you do, what you do is you rob people of life. That when you steal people, then what you do is you violate them. Anybody here ever had something stolen from you? Meaning somebody broke into your house or broke into your car? That ever happened? Doesn't that feel like a major violation? Like you immediately feel like, I've been violated, all right? Now, since I've moved to South Carolina, I have had 2 different Jeeps stolen, all right? Now, I know that seems crazy, but it's partially my fault. That I have a bad habit of leaving my keys in my car, okay? Now, you get 2 different Jeeps stolen, you'll correct that bad habit quickly, okay? Like my first Jeep was an old beater Jeep. It was just like an old wreck, but I loved it, and my son Clay was driving it, and he had learned from his dad, so he left the keys in the car. Now, fortunately, he was a broke college student, so they stole the car and made it about a half a mile down the road before it ran out of gas. So, got that Jeep back real fast. The next one was right out of my driveway. And again, I came home late at night one night, and I left my keys in the vehicle. It's my fault. But I woke up the next morning, came out to get in my Jeep, and it was like, it's gone. And I thought one of my kids was playing a trick on me, you know? I thought somebody's messing with me. And then realized, nope, it's gone. And fortunately, I got that back as well. Yet here's the problem. The material possession of the Jeep wasn't a big deal. The violation that we felt as a family. Then immediately my wife's going, hey, you got to get new locks on the house because your keys were gone. So they've been stolen, and we got to protect, and we got to go on lockdown. And it was like all of a sudden, it was like life was being sucked away from us because a violation had happened to us. When we rob from people, we rob them of life. That happens if you get material things stolen, but it can go much worse than that. You can have things physically stolen from you, that you could be abducted, that you could be abused, that somebody could take advantage of you. And that's a whole nother violation that robs you of life. That you can have your emotions stolen from you, that someone could steal your energy, they could like suck the life out of you, that someone can steal your joy. That someone can steal your identity. And I don't mean like identity theft. That's a whole nother thing. I just mean they just take your identity. That it's one of those things that you could go, this is a dream I have. This is a desire I have. This is what I feel like God's calling me to do. And somebody could just totally suck that identity out of you. Honestly, as a church, we have a bad habit of this in church. That when we tell people when you come to Christ that now you got to change everything and toe the line. All right. Now, there are sins that we need to get rid of. But many times as a church, we have a habit of telling people, well, you have to come into this form. Let me go back into my day and age. When I came to Christ, I was told you got to get rid of Bon Jovi and Def Leppard, and they handed me Sandy Patty and the a cappella vocal band. Okay? Now, I know all you older people get it, and all you younger people are saying, okay, boomer, all right? You know what I mean? And some of you that didn't understand my last name, it's because you're old. But anyway, you get where I'm going at, right? And then they said, now you've got to also dress right. Get rid of the leather jeans, take out your earrings, and put on a suit if you're going to work at a church. All right? My identity was totally stripped from me. And again, when it's sin issues, we need to deal with that. But when it's just who God wired you to be, yet too many times we rob people. And when we rob people of life. And that's not loving. That's the reason it says this in Scripture. Paul said it this way. It's in the book of Romans. He said, for the commandments say, you must not commit adultery. You must not murder. You must not steal. You must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Those are Jesus' words that Paul here in this verse, he is quoting Jesus because Jesus said all of these laws can be summed up in love your neighbor as yourself. And you're not going to steal from yourself and rob yourself of life. So why would you rob somebody else of life? And honestly, when we rob people of life, we put ourselves in the camp of the enemy. We're not being like Jesus. In reality, we're being like Satan, because Jesus called Satan a thief. In John 10:10, it says it this way. It says, the thief's purpose, Satan's purpose, the thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and destroy. That the enemy, the thief, that he wants to steal life away from you. And when he steals life away from you, it ends your life and it destroys your life. That's what Satan wants to do. So when we rob people, whether that's materially, physically, or emotionally, we are robbing them of life and we're not being like Jesus. Instead, we should try to be like Jesus and look at the last part of the verse. My purpose, meaning Jesus's purpose, is to give them a rich and satisfying life. That we should want to give people life, not take life away from them. When we rob from people, we rob them of life. That's the first thing I want us to think about when it comes to stealing. The second thing I want us to think about when it comes to stealing is this. That oftentimes we don't just rob people, but we will also rob God. We will rob God, and when we rob God, it's kind of the opposite. When we rob people, we rob them of life. But when we rob God, we rob ourselves of life. When you steal from God, you actually take life away from yourself. And I know that your first question might be, whoa, how do I rob from God? All right? Well, let me give you just three simple ways that we rob from God. I think the first way that we rob from God is by not giving to him generously. And I want to take a little bit of time, and I want to talk about what does it mean to give to God of your finances. And I know that many times in church, we're like, well, we don't want to talk about money, all right? But let me just tell you, as your preacher today, I am so excited to talk about money with you. And here's why. For the last 3 weeks, I've talked about murder and anger and sex and lust and adultery and divorce. Thank God that all I have to do is talk about money today. All right? Like, I'm like, woo, finally an easy topic, okay? It is an easy topic. This is one of those topics I love to talk about with people. And here's why. God has something for you. God has life for you, that God wants to do something new in you when it comes to your finances. I can tell you personally, I don't want anything from you. I want something for you. Now, God wants something from you. God wants something from you in the way of sacrifice, but he wants something from you because he wants something for you. And because I love you, I want to talk about this. Because when I was younger, no one shared this with me. They shared with me all about the right music I should listen to and how I should dress to go to church, but they never talked to me about money and how to set my life up right when it came to money. So I want to take just a few minutes and I want to talk about this, because in reality, many of us are missing the mark in this area. That if you just look at statistics across the nation, that most Christians miss the mark in this area. That the majority of Christians at most give 2.5% of their income to God through the church. Yet that's not what God says. God says, I want you to give to me so that I can give you life. And when we don't give, we rob ourselves of life. And he's got so much more for each and every one of us. Malachi says it this way. Malachi is a prophet from the Old Testament. And God spoke through Malachi. So here's the words of God recorded by Malachi. He says, will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. How do we rob you, you ask? By not making the payments of the tenth and the contributions. You are suffering under a curse, yet you, the whole nation, are still robbing me. In this verse, you'll see a couple things. One, you'll see a very basic principle of giving. That if you want to understand giving when it comes to how do you give to God, you do so through percentage-based giving. That each and every one of us in here makes a different income. We all make different incomes. Yet we can all have equal sacrifice. And the way that you can have equal sacrifice is setting apart a percentage of your income and give it to God. Reality is this, all right, statistically, maybe I should say it better, all right, that the people who make less than 20% follow this verse 8 out of 10 times who are Christians, all right? People who make less than $20,000 typically follow this percentage-based giving idea. People who make more than $75,000 typically do not follow it, which I think is kind of interesting. That oftentimes people will say, well, I'll start giving when I actually make some money, or I'll start giving when I can afford it. And reality is, it's quite the opposite. That if you don't learn how to give when you're making a little bit of income, it's much harder to learn how to give when you're making a lot of income. And that's the reason for you high schoolers, college age, all right, right now, please listen. Put this in practice while you can. The percentage-based giving is right here in front of us. It says, by not making the payments of the tenth. That tenth, all right, in church sometimes you hear it called the tithe. Tithe just means 10%, all right? And in percentage-based giving, what God is saying is set aside a percentage of your income and just give it back to him. That he is the one who blessed you with it originally, so now give it back to him, all right? And I would challenge each and every one of us to look at that 10% and set it as a baseline and say, I want to give at least that much, all right? And I know for some of you here don't give anything at all to the Lord. All right, so maybe today is a day where you say, I'm going to start working towards that 10%. Some of you are giving maybe 4 or 5%. I want you to work towards that 10%. Because that 10% is a baseline that I really believe that everyone should get to. And I would say this, it doesn't matter if you follow God or not. I really believe so much in this principle that even if you don't have faith in God and you started to practice this, you would see God become real in your life. Ask anybody else who practices this, and they would agree with me. Because they would say, yep, I've seen God show up in many ways. I think about some of our ministry leaders who were challenged with this idea of giving back to God. And every time myself or one of our other pastors challenges somebody personally to maybe give, what we always hear every time is that person coming back saying, you would not believe the way that God has shown up in my life. That I didn't think there was any way I could give, and now there's no way I could not give because God has shown up. So I want to challenge you to look at your income and pick a percentage and give it. And again, through Scripture, we see a baseline of 10. Now, there's many other times in Scripture you'll see more than 10, all right? There's other times in Scripture you'll see where it just says, decide in your heart what to give and then give so and do so generously. But decide, because here's why. When we don't give, we rob ourselves of life. You are suffering under a curse, yet you, the whole nation, are still robbing me. He's saying, listen, you're robbing yourself of life, so quit robbing me, because if you quit robbing me, then I'll give you life. Look at the next verse. Bring the full tenth into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord of the armies. See if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing for you without measure. that God is saying, if you'll honor me in the way that you give, if you won't steal from me anymore, if you'll honor me in the way that you give, I will return it back to you, that I will give you life, all right? Now, let me say this, because I always want to make sure I say this. That doesn't mean if you give a dollar, you'll get a dollar back. Any preacher that tells you that, they're selling you a false gospel. What it does mean is God will richly reward and bless your life. I was talking to one of our ministry leaders, a coach of one of our ministries, and he said when he first started to give, he thought it meant that financially he'd get the return. And he says, years later, what I've realized is it wasn't about finances that came back to me. It was about life seeing all of my kids walking with the Lord. He said, I saw life return to me in a major way. Give to the Lord, and he will give you life. And with that, you'll be able to bless others. Look at this last part, verse. Bring the full tenth, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. That when we give to God, he gives you life. And when he gives you life, he's going to bless you in a way that you're still able to be generous to others. All right? So therefore, let's not rob God. But how else do we rob God? I think we also rob God by giving with the wrong motives. Matthew chapter 6, this is the Sermon on the Mount. This is where Jesus brings the Ten Commandments back into the Sermon on the Mount. And he says this in Matthew 6. He says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. Otherwise, you will have no reward with your Father in heaven. So whenever you give to the poor, don't sound a trumpet as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be applauded by people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. But when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. I think sometimes that we make a mistake in our giving, that we think, well, all I need to do is just give to others. I just need to bless others, that I'm just going to take care of this person's need, or I'm going to take care of that person's need, or I'm going to show up here. Right? That's what was going on back in the New Testament days with Jesus, that people were coming into the streets, people were coming into the synagogue or the temple, and when they saw a need, they were like, hey, everybody watch me take care of this person's need, and then they would bless them, all right? And what Jesus is saying in this statement is if that's the way you give, what you're actually doing is robbing God of glory. That we should give in a way that we give God the glory, not man the glory. That God gets the glory, not that we get the accolades, all right? And so I want to challenge you that way. Does it mean that we shouldn't be nice to people and we shouldn't take care of people when they have a need? Absolutely not. We should definitely take care of people. All right? That's what happens when you give to God. He generously provides so you can take care of other people's needs. But just make sure when we do it, we don't do it for our glory, that we do it for the glory of God. That's one of the beauties of giving through the local church, is when you give through the local church, that you know that through the church that we take care of a bunch of needs and a bunch of different people and a bunch of different ministries, all right? And nobody gets the glory for that except God. All right. So when we give to God and don't give for false motives, because we can rob God, which means we rob ourselves of life when we don't give or we give for the wrong motives. And notice that last part of verse. If we give with the right motives, then we will get the reward. That God will reward you, not that you will get the reward yourself. Lastly, let's wrap this up. We're going to move into a time of response. And I've told you two out of the three ways that we rob God. And at the beginning, I said there's three different ways we rob God. That we rob God in not giving to him. We rob God by giving with false motives. And then I believe this, that we also rob God by not giving our lives. I want you to make sure you catch this. For each and every one of us here, that you matter to God. And he created you so that you could worship him. It's that simple. Our whole purpose on this earth is to bring glory to God. And the way you bring glory to God is by giving your life back to him. And then using the gifts that he's given you to serve him, which means then serving other people. And when we don't give our lives back to God, what we're actually doing is stealing glory from him. And when we do that, what we do is we lose our life. Jesus said it this way in scripture as well. He said that if you try to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you give your life to God, then you'll find it. So my challenge right now is let's give our lives to God. Maybe you're here today and you've never given your heart, you've never given your soul, you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. Then I want to challenge you today, quit robbing God. I know that's a hard statement. But quit robbing God. Because all you're doing by not giving your life to God is robbing yourself. You're robbing yourself of the rich, satisfying, abundant life that Jesus so desperately wants to give you. When you do not surrender your heart back to him, you're robbing yourself of life. When you give with the wrong motives, you're robbing yourself of life. When you don't give to God, you're robbing yourself of life. So today, I want you to be here because I want you to find life, and I want you to find it in Christ. So why we sing these songs, why we do this response time, then what I want to challenge you to do is to really ask yourself the question, am I stealing or am I giving? Am I stealing life from myself, and am I stealing life from others? Or am I giving life to others by receiving life myself? You know, up front, we have communion on the front of the stage. And if you want to take communion and wrestle with this question, am I stealing or am I giving? Then I want you to do that. We got a prayer corner over there that if you want to go up and just take a knee and just spend some time in prayer and ask yourself, am I stealing or am I giving? Maybe you want to get baptized. You get baptized, what you're saying is that I'm giving up my life, that I'm surrendering my life to Jesus. And I'm ready to honor God with that. And when you receive that life from God through baptism, when you receive that life from God through surrendering your life to him and asking him to be your Savior, what you're doing is you're receiving life. But as you receive it, then I just turn around and you just give it to others. And then you're able to go and serve others. So I don't know what decisions you have to make today, but I do know this. Like every other commandment, it's probably something that each and every one of us in this room can work on. That we can all take steps in our giving. We can all take steps in our giving of glory to God. We can all take steps in the way that we surrender to God. So I'm going to ask you to stand right now. And we're gonna sing a song here in just a second. And as we sing this song, then the big challenge is, will you walk it out? Will you surrender it all to God? Will you give it all to Jesus? Not just your checkbook. Not just the money in your wallet, but will you actually give your heart and your soul and your life to Jesus Christ? That's a big challenge. But I promise you, if you do that, you'll find life. Without it, you're robbing yourself of life. And I can say this personally. And I let me just move off of personal. I can say personally that I found life in God. But I can say that I spent some time last night talking to some individuals. And conversation after conversation after conversation, I heard people say, wow, I have found life in Christ that I never knew I could find. I want you to find that kind of life. So let's pray, and then let's respond. Pray with me. Jesus, we come before you right now, God. And Jesus, I ask you that you would help us to do something that is difficult. Help us to surrender. Help us to surrender it all. From our heart to our head, to our hands, to our feet, to our time, to our resources, to our gifts. Help us surrender it all to you, God, so that we can find life in you, and then so that we can give life to others. God, I thank you for the many who have taken that step, and God, I pray right now for the many that are going to take that step towards surrender. God, help us to wrestle with it this morning. Thank you for surrendering your life so that we could find life. In your name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you would like more information on how to give to God through the Rock, you can find that on our app or on our website. Another way you can give to us is simply by subscribing to this podcast, rating it, telling your friends about it. All those things are super helpful. We hope you have a great week.